Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Ox Talk for the week of Tuesday, the 18th of February. My name is Ross, and I'm compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Oxford papers, with news being selected and read by Leslie Court, Alison Soskis, and Marianne Moxon. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 7 a.m, with sunset being around 5 p.m. The copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here, there will be some instructions on how to listen to Ox Talk using your Alexa device, and at the end of the edition, you will hear how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
Robbie Williams has said he purchased Eric Morecambe's glasses and pipe at auction, as he has always seen the comedian as an uncle of sorts whose spirit has been salve for my soul. The singer said he cried happy childlike tears after winning the bidding war last month with a final offer of £20,000, far exceeding the £2,000 to £4,000 estimate. The imitation tortoiseshell glasses by Metzler, said to be synonymous with Morecambe's sharp wit and comedic persona, were sold alongside his Barling briar pipe and two black and white photographs of him with the spectacles. A lifetime of showbiz memorabilia and personal items from the comic's former home, Bracker Field in Harpenden, Hertfordshire, went on sale in January, almost 10 months after the death of his widow, Joan, aged 97, in March 2024. Williams said, "I guess we all need friends we never meet, from off the telly. Eric has always been mine, an uncle of sorts. Eric Morecambe's spirit has been salve for my soul."
The 166-million-year-old dinosaur footprint tracks recently discovered in a quarry near Bicester is a remarkable discovery, an Oxfordshire MP has said. MP for Bicester and Woodstock, Callum Miller, and MP for Oxford West and Abingdon, Leila Moran, have visited the site of the Dinosaur Highway in Ardley, near Bicester. The prehistoric footprint tracks, uncovered at Dewar's Farm Quarry by teams from the Universities of Oxford and Birmingham, was a major scientific discovery and has shed new light into the prehistoric world. The site contains around 200 footprints, spanning stretches of up to 150 meters in length, which were found to have been traversed by Setiosaurus, a long-necked herbivore, and Megalosaurus, carnivorous reptile. The discovery continues a tradition of significant dinosaur finds in the region, dating back to the world's first dinosaur discovery by William Buckland in 1824, made 15 miles away from this discovery. The tracks are believed to be connected to a similar discovery made at the nearby Ardley Quarry in 1997, in which around 40 sets of footprints were uncovered. Some of the trackways reached 180 meters in length, but they are covered in landfill. Following the recent discovery, researchers from the University of Oxford said that Dewar's Farm was still a working quarry with no public access and will remain so in the medium term.
Oxford United fans will commemorate arguably the club's greatest ever player this weekend as the three-year anniversary of Joey Beecham's death approaches. Youth legend Beecham died aged 50 on February the 19th, 2022, with a coroner at a later inquest recording that he took his own life. The Oxford-born former winger is currently 10th in United's all-time appearance table with 428 games, while only five players have scored more than Beecham's total of 77. The Youths welcome Portsmouth in Sky Bet Championship tomorrow afternoon, and ahead of the match, the club's official charity, Oxford United in the Community, and the Joey Beecham Foundation have formed a partnership. There will be a tribute to Beecham on the scoreboard tomorrow, a minute's applause in the 11th minute, and a fundraising raffle. Prizes for the raffle include two hospitality packages for the first visit of Watford on March the 15th, four tickets to the Sunderland game on April the 26th, a signed shirt, and two tickets to United's end-of-season awards night. There are plans to provide mental health first aid training to youth supporters, while suicide prevention counselling is also in place. The Joey Beecham Foundation was formed by Luke Beecham, Joey's brother, last year to address the pressing need for mental health support and awareness within our community. He said, "This is an important step for the foundation and one which will support our ongoing work to promote mental health services and skill sets within the football club's fan base and beyond. Mental health support is available, but right now, not everyone is entirely confident how to access it or even how to approach these conversations. Picking up the phone or taking time to check in on a friend is the right thing to do, regardless if they're showing signs of depression or not." The Joey Beecham Foundation aims to promote those behaviours, and with support from an Oxford United in the community, it's our ambition to ensure people are well placed to prevent others from experiencing loss because of suicide. Oxford United in the Community Chief Executive Matt Everett added, "No person should have to experience the loss of a friend or relative because of suicide. But even today, there remains a requirement to enhance people's awareness and understanding of the support services which are available. By partnering with the Joey Beecham Foundation, we can use our existing network to spread an important message and achieve a collaborative goal to inspire positive outcomes through the power of football and the Oxford United badge."
The Great Western Railway coat of arms mosaic has been unveiled at Didcot Railway Centre. It was unveiled by renowned antiques expert and author Paul Atterbury, who said, "This splendid work of art reminds us that the inspiration which drove Victorian industry was business, people and materials." The mosaic, 1,600 millimetres in diameter and weighing 223 kilograms, is made of around 10,000 tessera tile pieces and adorned the entrance foyer floor at GWR's headquarters goods office at London's Paddington Station, which opened in 1906. The building was demolished in 1986, and Railway Centre volunteers recovered the mosaic in multiple sections. The fragments were stored until a generous bequest enabled a £41,500 contract to be placed in 2024 with specialist conservators, the Mosaic Restoration Company. The coat of arms incorporates the shields, crests and mottos of the cities of London and Bristol, linked by the original main line opened in 1841. Didcot is approximately halfway between those cities.
Text on the inside of a scroll not seen for almost 2,000 years is beginning to be deciphered. The scroll, known as P. Herc 172, is one of three scrolls housed at the Bodleian Libraries in Oxford from the ancient site of Herculaneum, which was buried under the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79. An image of the virtually unrolled scroll shows a considerable part of the papyrus and some columns of texts. While efforts are underway by University of Oxford scholars to interpret the text, the Vesuvius Challenge is inviting others to come forward and join the collective effort to fully decipher its contents. The Vesuvius Challenge is a global initiative launched in 2023 to discover the contents of the Herculaneum scrolls without any physical intervention to the scrolls themselves. Its team has worked with AI to piece together the images and enhance the clarity of the text. The Oxford scroll, donated in the early 19th century by Ferdinand IV, King of Naples and Sicily, has proved unique among Herculaneum materials due to the chemical composition of its ink, which appears more clearly in X-ray scans. Richard Ovenden, Bodleian's librarian, and Helen Hamlin, director of university libraries, said it's an incredible moment in history as librarians, computer scientists, and scholars of the classical period are collaborating to see the unseen. The astonishing strides forward made with imaging AI are enabling us to look inside the scrolls that have not been read for almost 2,000 years. This scroll contains more recoverable text than we have ever seen in a scanned Herculaneum scroll.
Gary Rowett has little regret when it comes to Dane Scarlett and his recall by Tottenham Hotspur. The striker, 20, was recalled from his Oxford United loan spell on January the 20th, having scored 4 goals in 22 appearances across all competitions. He featured in only 3 league games out of 6 after Rowett became U's head coach. Scarlett has since netted his first goal for Spurs in a Europa League win at home against Elfsborg and was a substitute for Richardson in a Premier League victory at Brentford earlier this month. Having featured for Spurs, it meant Scarlett could only play for either Ange Postecoglou's side or United between now and the end of the season. Asked if there was a chance of Scarlett returning to the U's after his recall, Rowett responded, "We would have had potentially 4 or 5 players who can play as a number 9. Is there such a huge difference between all of those players in terms of one being so much better than the other? I'm not so sure. You can always look back when you pick an injury up and say what if, but ultimately you have to make those decisions and you would have ended up with 2 or 3 good players out of the squad every week."
Sean Evans, who starred as a young Inspector Morse in 9 series of ITV's Endeavour, is branching out as a director. He has been chosen to direct 2 episodes of Series 5 of ITV detective drama The Bay, which will be screened soon. Morse prequel Endeavour, set in Oxford, concluded in 2023, having attracted millions of viewers after it launched in 2012. Since the end of Endeavour, the Liverpool-born actor has taken on a number of different roles. These include appearing as John Sweeney in true life crime drama Until I Kill You, alongside Anna Maxwell Martin. He is also starring in new ITV series Betrayal, set in the clandestine world of MI5. The actor appears as intelligence officer John Hughes, who is trying to avert a serious threat to national security while making sense of his own place in the world. Filming is scheduled to start soon, with scenes to be shot in Manchester and London. At the same time, Mr. Evans is also trying his hand at directing. An ITV spokesperson said, "Sean Evans has directed episodes in the new series of The Bay, which comes to air on ITV1 and ITVX next month." The screen star gained experience as a director on the Endeavour series, taking charge of several episodes. Now he has directed 2 episodes of Series 5 of The Bay. The series is set in Morecambe Bay and stars Marsha Thomason as DS Jen Townsend and Erin Shanagher as DS Karen Hobson. In Series 5, the Morecambe detectives will be looking into the emotionally complex life of a divided family. The victim's parents are bitterly divorced, which means Jen and her colleagues will have to tread very carefully to keep the whole family on side. "We're delighted to be returning to Morecambe for another series of The Bay," said head of ITV drama Polly Hill. "The series is a huge success story for ITV, and we're grateful to Catherine Oldfield, Dara Carville and the team at Tall Story Pictures for continuing to create compelling stories and characters." Catherine Oldfield, executive producer at Tall Story Pictures, added, "Show creator Dara and I couldn't be happier to be heading back to Morecambe with Marcia and the team for another case. We love making the show, and so we're delighted to be producing another series for ITV and viewers at home and abroad." Sean Evans regularly returns to Oxford to meet fans and took part in a Christmas charity concert at Christchurch Cathedral.
Barrister Amal Clooney, the wife of Hollywood star George, has been appointed as a visiting professor of a university department in Oxford. Mrs. Clooney has been made a visiting professor of practice at Blavatnik School of Government at the University of Oxford. Mrs. Clooney is an acclaimed barrister and human rights advocate. She said, "I am honoured to be back at Oxford, this time not as a student but as a professor. It is a privilege to have this opportunity to engage with the next generation of global leaders and to contribute to the vibrant academic community at Oxford. I look forward to collaborating with both the faculty and students to advance access to justice around the world."
Hundreds of thousands of older people living in the southeast will be encouraged to take the respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, vaccine. Invitations are being sent to people aged 75 to 79, or those who turned 80 after September 1st, 2024, urging them to book an appointment with their GP. It comes as NHS chiefs warn RSV, which affects the airways and lungs, is not just a winter illness. The virus can lead to severe lung infections like pneumonia in older adults. The NHS began vaccinating people against RSV for the first time on September the 1st, and more than 278,000 eligible people have received the vaccine at their GP practice in the South East. Caroline Reid, NHS England's Regional Director of Commissioning in the South East, said, "RSV is not just a winter illness. While we see an increase in cases during the winter, it can occur year-round and can make older people seriously ill. That's why it's vital for everyone eligible to get vaccinated. I encourage everyone we contact in the coming days, or anyone who's previously been invited but hasn't yet taken up the offer, to get the RSV vaccine as soon as possible by contacting their GP. Pregnant women are also eligible for the vaccine from 28 weeks onwards, and RSV is a leading cause of infant mortality."
The winners of a competition aimed at raising awareness of the risks of overusing antibiotics have been announced. The design competition, organised by NHS Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board, that's BOBICB, invited children and young people aged 5 to 25 to create a story, poster or TikTok video about antimicrobial resistance. The aim was to highlight the health issues caused by antimicrobial resistance, which occurs when bacteria change and become resistant to antibiotics, making some drugs less effective or useless. The three winners, 9-year-old James Rehill from Thatcham in Berkshire, 10-year-old Skye Sivapalan from Buckinghamshire, and 10-year-old James Roberts from Banbury, created posters that will be displayed in local venues throughout the year. Claire Brandish, a pharmacist and competition judge, said, "We were really keen at the start of this to build on what the children were already learning in school about antimicrobial resistance. Their knowledge went far beyond what we expected, which was both inspiring and encouraging. It gives us real hope for the future, knowing these young minds are already so engaged with this critical issue."
The head chef at a foodies pub has appeared in a BBC's Great British Menu competition. Ashley Farrand is head chef at the Kingham Plough near Chipping Norton in the Cotswolds. She featured as a contestant in the BBC's Great British Menu, competing in the South West England heat of the competition, making the final four before being knocked out ahead of the final. Returning for its 20th anniversary, the theme for the BBC show 2025 was Great Britons. Each week on the series, four regional finalist chefs celebrate and take inspiration from great British historical figures who originally came from their region.
More British people now live in Dubai than in Oxford, according to new research. A feature in the Times has shown at least 180,000 Brits live in the Emirati city in comparison to a total population of around 160,000 in Oxford. One reason attributed to this is chasing the Dubai dream of wealth, sunshine and a fast-forward life overseas. Asad Khan, an estate agent managing a £40 million sale of a Dubai apartment, told The Times, "In Dubai, you're so busy you don't have time to miss the UK. You haven't got time for a cup of tea." Another Briton posted on social media about how to make a success of moving to Dubai and shared a checklist of why living in the city was better than the UK, in her opinion. This included the affordability of private schooling, which mainly follows the British curriculum, but starts at about £10,000 per year. Healthcare also made the list, with expat employers being required to pay insurance, while the weather also being listed as a strong point. The blistering heat only lasts for a few months in summer, according to locals, while Dubai is the largest of the United Arab Emirates' seven royal territories. There are plans to double the population by 2040 from about 3.7 million today, using immigration, while its rulers also aim to quintuple the size of public beaches.
A new Chinese restaurant is planning to move into an empty unit in Oxford city centre. Applicant Wang Casserole has applied for the new eatery at 95 Gloucester Green. The application to Oxford City Council includes alterations to the shopfront, a new door and a fume purification unit. The unit was previously the home of creative space Fusion Arts. The scheme's planning statement said, "The property benefits from a city central location within Oxford and will be able to accommodate visitors to the city, residents of the locality or the city generally, as there are great transportation links from outside the city and ample car parking surrounding the site. The property aesthetics will generally remain, apart from the enhancement of the glazed sections of the shop, which is illustrated on the drawings and within this statement. The overall design is intended to maintain its aesthetics from the outside, while also maximising the ground floor area for the seating, dining, kitchen and storage areas. The new restaurant will also provide two toilets with hand washing facilities. The enhancement and reopening of this establishment will enhance the local area and encourage other businesses to improve their appearance."
Oxford has been identified as one of the least affordable areas for single people looking to buy a home in Britain, a new study shows. The city is listed amongst 10 of the least affordable areas to buy a one- or two-bedroom home. Ranked sixth, the average price for a one- or two-bedroom home in Oxford is $364,400, with the house-to-price-earnings ratio sitting at 8.7. Kensington and Chelsea in London made the top of the list. At the other end of the spectrum, Aberdeen in Scotland was identified as the most affordable city for single people looking to buy a home in Britain. Liverpool was placed second, with an average one- or two-bedroom home valued at $130,800. The website said wage growth has helped improve the affordability of homes in southern England over the past year. Over the past 12 months, house prices have risen by just under 1.5% in southern England, excluding London, compared with earnings growth of 5.6%.
The restoration of a historic Oxford cemetery by volunteers has been recognised in an award from the Heritage Charity. Holywell Cemetery in St Cross Road was painstakingly restored by a group of volunteers over years. In the latest awards from the Oxford Preservation Trust, which recognises the best in conservation and new design in the city in a scheme established in 1977, the cemetery work was awarded a plaque in the landscape and public realm category. The project began in 2017 with the arrival of Reverend Canon Will Lamb as vicar of the University Church of St Mary the Virgin, when Holywell Cemetery was overgrown and neglected. Reverend Canon Lamb said the graves were completely overgrown, hidden under thick ivy and brambles. It was like a jungle. It wasn't always left in disrepair, as when a lodge was built beside the cemetery gate for the keeper to live in 1850, he created an admired garden as well as tend the graves. But this became neglected after the last cemetery caretaker retired in 1931, as parish funds ran out and less burials took place in the few remaining plots. Friends of the Holywell Cemetery formed shortly after the Reverend took up the post with the intention of restoring the cemetery and its historical features while protecting the biodiverse wildlife which had made its home since its neglect. In 2023, a Church of England Count on Nature survey identified more than 100 species of flora and fauna on the site. Wildlife management was continued in the cemetery with the addition of birdhouses and owl boxes to attract more birds, and it has regular visits from butterflies, pheasants, foxes and muntjac deer. The history of the site is likewise notable. Built in 1847 in response to the increasing need for burial sites in the city amid a cholera outbreak and concern for public health. Interesting graves include Kenneth Graham, author of The Wind in the Willows, who died in 1932. A celebrated brain surgeon in his day also has a resting place in the cemetery, Sir Hugh Cairns, who was Nuffield Professor of Surgery and who died in 1952. The founder of Blackwell's Bookshops, Benjamin Henry Blackwell, has also a plot on the site, buried there in 1924. A member of Friends of Holywell Cemetery, Bill Bannister Parker, said, "It's a delicate balance. We want to preserve these historically significant grave markers while protecting the wildlife that has made its home here." The volunteers have worked to clear pathways and restore visibility to the cemetery's significant graves and protect those in disrepair. Mr. Bannister Parker added, "It's a very overlooked place."
A nuclear engineering company has moved into a new office at a science and technology park near Didcot. Nuvia, a global leader in nuclear engineering, decommissioning and health physics, has relocated its Oxfordshire operations to Milton Park. The company, which employs more than 2,800 people worldwide, operates across a range of highly regulated and sensitive industrial and nuclear sites. The relocation aims to support its growth plans while offering greater flexibility for its workforce. For more than 60 years, Nuvia has helped to clean up the earliest nuclear sites safely, securely and cost-effectively. Building on this, the 70-strong team at Milton Park designs, constructs, operates, maintains and decommissions industrial and nuclear projects across the UK. The company's employees now benefit from Milton Park's amenities, occupier events, green space and sustainable transport links. Greg Antill, Nuvia's health physics director, said, "Staying within Oxfordshire was important for us due to the county's legacy and prominence in the UK's nuclear science and technology sectors. With the UK Atomic Energy Authority close by and easy access to the likes of the National College of Nuclear and EDF in the southwest, the region is a real hub for the nuclear sector. Our new Milton Park base puts us in close proximity to our key partners." Nuvia is currently exploring the feasibility of a radioisotope production facility for the Welsh Government, which would produce medical radioisotopes used for medical imaging from its own research reactor and supply them to health service providers across the UK and internationally. Mr. Antill added, "As with the radioisotope project, we are continually on the lookout for new services to complement and expand our offering. That growth mindset has seen our team expand by over 100 people in the last 10 months, and we have similar ambitions next year." Milton Park's growing cluster of life science and green energy occupiers, especially the work of Tokamak Energy in nuclear fusion, is particularly exciting, and we feel well placed to capitalise on the talent and wider ecosystem from our new base on the park. Tom Booker, commercial manager at Milton Park, said, "We worked closely with Nuvia throughout the move to ensure the relocation was as seamless as possible. Their new facility responds to the complex, secure nature of the sector they work in, whilst catering to their approach to hybrid working. Joining like-minded innovators like Tokamak, the company is an ideal fit for our growing cluster of clean and green energy occupiers. We are delighted to welcome Nuvia and hope they can make the most of the partnerships on their new doorstep."
Gary Rowich has been named the Sky Bet Championship Manager of the Month for January. The 50-year-old guided Oxford United to 3 wins and 3 draws from their 6 league matches last month, with victories at Millwall on New Year's Day, the team's first away win of the season, and at home against Blackburn Rovers and Luton Town. It was Rowett's first full month as head coach after being appointed as Des Buckingham's successor on December the 20th. Rowett said, "I was hoping I didn't win it because of the so-called curse. I wanted to come in and have an impact, of course, but you can only have that impact if the players and the staff buy into what you're trying to do. I'm never a big one for these individual awards. I'm respectful of it, but I think it's a reward for everybody that's worked hard and everyone that's put in an awful lot of effort into the results that we have."
A Bicester family have planted 1,500 trees on their land to create a forest. The Holbert family's forest is made up of 80% UK native species and 20% non-native species. The trees include English oak, silver birch, red oak, Scots pine, giant redwood, and Douglas fir. The family were able to do this thanks to a Forestry Commission grant, which supports the creation of new forests on more than a hectare of land. The Forestry Commission is committed to increasing woodland cover and enhancing biodiversity across the UK. Andrew Hulbert said, "This is a project we are incredibly proud of. Not only does it create a legacy woodland for our future generations, but it also helps protect the beautiful green areas of Oxfordshire. We were inspired by the funding available from the Forestry Commission, are incredibly grateful for their support throughout the whole process. We are delighted that our children will grow up knowing they've contributed to the sustainability of the local area and the opportunities this will create in the future." Mr. Hulbert recently drove 2,000 kilometres to Bicester's 3 twin towns in Europe. He travelled across Poland, Germany and France to raise funds for Nye's House, a charity in Bicester providing mental health support for young people.
A high street retail chain is set to open 2 new stores in Oxfordshire this month. The Range, which sells everyday essentials, including cleaning, health and well-being, food and pet care, will open in Oxford and Bicester. This follows the acquisition of the Homebase brand and up to 70 stores last month. According to its website, the chain will open a shop in Horsepath Driftway, Cowley, on February the 28th, a week after its Bicester store opens at Launton Road Retail Park. In Bicester, the grand opening will be a fun-filled event with goodie bags for the first 50 people in the queue.
A driverless bus trial at Milton Park was a success, according to its operators, with around 1,400 people taking part. In 2023, members of the public were able to take a free ride on the UK's first self-driving electric bus service at the Science Park on the edge of Didcot. The service, operated by First Bus, was a 15-seat single-decker minibus and is fully accessible for wheelchair and pushchair users. John Birtwistle, head of policy at First Bus, has given an update on the trial. During the operation of the service, which saw autonomous electric buses running between Milton Park and Didcot Parkway Station at various dates in 2023, almost 1,400 passengers were carried. The buses were fully automated with steering, braking, acceleration, and all maneuvers and signaling under autonomous control, but with a safety driver behind the wheel at all times.
The Duke of Edinburgh joined in with a theatre session during his Oxfordshire visit. The Theatre Chipping Norton said it was delighted to welcome Prince Edward on Wednesday, February the 12th, to learn more about the work the theatre does as a charity. His Royal Highness, who has significant experience with the arts both in the UK and abroad, and has patronage of a large number of high-profile organisations, met staff, volunteers and beneficiaries to learn firsthand about the power of the arts in Chipping Norton. The theatre is known for its vibrant productions, including its annual pantomime, as well as being a community-driven charity, which says it's committed to making the arts accessible to all. It has recently been awarded a major multi-year grant from the Esme Fairbairn Foundation, which will enable the theatre to expand its community outreach.
A Headington school has won a regional philosophy competition to book its place in the national final at Eton College. Cheyne School triumphed in the 2025 South East Region Philosophon at Malden College School on Thursday, January the 30th. Points were awarded by professional philosophers for contribution to discussions. Students debated topics including fact-checking, lying governments, Plato's forms, and animal ethics. Cheyne School's team consisted of Albie, Amelie and Boo from Year 9, as well as Isla and Natty from Year 12. They were joined by Captains Pedro and Veronica from Year 13 and philosophy teacher Dr. Tarasenko. The school finally managed to come out on top, having finished second by a single point in two previous years. Cheyne School is now through to the national final, which will take place at Eton College in Berkshire in May.
Oxford University will now offer paid paternity leave of 12 weeks, up from the statutory 2 weeks. The change to its family leave scheme came into effect on January 31st, and as well as fathers, also benefits partners of new mothers. The 12-week leave period will include the 2-week statutory period. The university will also implement transitional arrangements for staff who have recently had or adopted children. This will allow them to benefit from some of the leave under the new policy. By doing so, Oxford University is joining a small group of organisations in the UK offering such extensive paid paternity leave.
The world's deadliest chick is now thriving at a bird sanctuary attraction in the Cotswolds. The southern cassowary chick hatched at Birdland in Broughton at the end of last year, and it was the only one to hatch in the UK in 2024. The birds, native to Australia, Indonesia and Papua New Guinea, are extremely rare and known as one of the most dangerous birds in the world due to their size, speed and power combined with 10-centimetre dagger-like claws. It was the first time in 25 years of trying that the team at Birdland successfully bred the rare bird. The visitor attraction is close to Oxfordshire and it will be a popular choice for many families at half term, including those hoping to catch a glimpse of the deadly chick. Staff at Birdland recently posted a video on Facebook showing how much the chick has grown. It said, "Watch how much our cassowary chick has grown. From tiny steps, not wanting to leave Dad's side, confident strides around the enclosure, it's so lovely to see the chick thriving." Speaking following the birth, keeper Alistair Keane said, It's been a massive effort from the entire team here over many years, but it's all been worthwhile when you see this amazing humbug-coloured chick exploring its new surroundings under the watchful eye of a very protective father. Cassowaries have a reputation as one of the world's most dangerous birds, and their size, speed and power, combined with their dagger-like 10-centimetre claws, mean we have to take looking after them extremely seriously. They're the only birds on site that have their own risk assessment, as they are potentially so hazardous. In order to avoid disturbing them during the incubation, we've been using video cameras to monitor the nest, and when we caught our first glimpse of the tiny chick, it was a very special moment indeed. The chick is being fed fruit, vegetables, mice, and has even been spotted eating a dragonfly.
A talented local fashion designer is now able to show off her award-winning work in the window of a city centre hotel. Ella Douglas won a new design competition, which has resulted in her designs being shown off at the Store Hotel, a former department store which opened in May last year on the site of the former Boswells. Staff at the hotel have reminded guests of the site's links with retail trade by linking up with talented fashion designers in a new competition. The hotel and design talent management company Oxford Fashion Studio announced Ms. Douglas as the winner of Fashion Forward, the inaugural edition of the establishment's joint fashion design competition. Designers presented their creations to a panel of judges, including the head of advisory at Vogue Business, designer and winner of Project Runway, and the editor and lecturer at the London College of Fashion. The judges also included the fashion and runway director at Oxford Fashion Studio and the founder and chief executive at Wolf and Badger, as well as Mr. Drake. Ms. Douglas will also be promoting her winning collection with Wolf and Badger and via Oxford Fashion Studio's new digital platform. The editor-lecturer at the London School of Fashion said, "It's a pleasure to support and play a role in this significant initiative to shine a light on the best emerging talent that Britain has to offer. We are delighted to congratulate Ella Douglas and look forward to seeing her winning proposal come to fruition." Ms. Douglas's window display, which is expected to remain on show throughout February, has a transportation theme. She said, "In today's social media-driven world, fashion often exists only in 2D, online. The chance to showcase my brand in person to a diverse audience is a privilege, essential for an emerging designer." Carl Anglim, director at Oxford Fashion Studio, said, "The originality of emerging designers across the UK was truly inspiring." He added, "We are thrilled to be back in Oxford, offering a platform for emerging designers where Boswell's once stood, and we applaud Ella Douglas for her outstanding concept that has made her our deserved winner." Manager Simon Drake has ensured there are reminders of Boswell's throughout the hotel, which is on the corner of Corn Market and Broad Street in the city centre. This includes decorating the walls of the 101 bedrooms with historic prints and artwork, referencing the department store. The store features a rooftop terrace with views over Oxford and a Treadwell restaurant.
An Oxfordshire MP is calling for more investment on the post office network. Ollie Glover, MP for Didcot and Wantage, debated the future of local post offices while praising their role as community hubs. In the debate last week, Mr. Glover spoke of the community services post offices provide, but highlighted that many in his Didcot and Wantage constituency are under threat. He said they offer vital human contact and offer information and support for people who might otherwise be isolated, particularly given suboptimal rural transport links. The work of the postmistress in Blueberry near Didcot, where the village post office is based in the village hall, was given as an example of both the invaluable postal service offered, but also the extra support they can provide.
Primary school children in Benson have been learning about the importance of staying safe around building sites. House builder Beverly Bewley Homes teamed up with Benson Church of England Primary School to educate pupils on the potential dangers of construction sites. Matt Jenkins, Health and Safety Manager at Bewley, visited the school to reinforce the message that construction sites are not places to play. He said, "Construction sites can be dangerous, and it's crucial that young children understand why they must stay away. Our partnership with Benson Primary School allows us to engage with pupils in a fun but meaningful way, helping them recognise potential hazards and the importance of staying safe." Bewley has also launched a site safety poster campaign in collaboration with the school. Pupils have been encouraged to design their own posters with the best ones to be displayed on site. Amy Pierce, head teacher at Benson Church of England Primary School, said, "We are delighted to work with Bewley Homes on this important initiative. The children really enjoyed the session, and the poster campaign has been a great way to reinforce key safety messages. We're grateful to Bewley for taking the time to engage with our pupils and promote such an important issue. This initiative is part of Bewley Homes' ongoing commitment to community engagement and safety education."
Sixth form students at Oxford High School have showcased their research projects on topics from generative AI to the link between depression and type 2 diabetes. They did so at the Mary Warnock Evening Research Presentation, which was held on Tuesday, February the 4th. The event is named after Baroness Mary Warnock, a philosopher and former headmistress known for her work in bioethics and education reform. She chaired the committee that produced the Warnock Report, which laid the groundwork for the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Act 1990. The evening gives students at the girls' school the chance to explore topics beyond their A-levels, leading to self-directed research projects. It featured a range of student presentations and poster displays on various topics. These included the similarities and differences in methods of immersion in horror video games and literature, the impact of immigration on the USA's labour markets from 2013 to 2023, and the threat of generative AI to workers. Other projects looked at the regulation of peacetime cyber espionage under international law, the role of ragwort in biodiversity, and the link between depression and type 2 diabetes. Marina Gardner-Legg, head of Oxford High School, said, "It's inspiring to see our students engage with complex topics and present their findings with such confidence and clarity. This evening truly embodies the spirit of academic excellence that Baroness Warnock championed."
City councillors have welcomed news that elections to Oxfordshire County Council will go ahead in May, with the leader of the independent group describing it as a win for democracy. Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner has ended weeks of speculation by confirming which local authorities will go to the polls this spring. Oxfordshire voters will be among those to head to the ballot boxes on May the 1st, with all county council seats up for grabs. No party has a majority, and the council is run by a minority administration of Liberal Democrat and Green councillors. Local elections across the country face disruption over the government's plans to restructure local authorities. The county council had expressed concern about cancelling the elections, but insisted it would accept delay if the government presented an ambitious plan to create an Oxfordshire Unitary Authority by 2026. However, no plans have yet been released.
To mark National Apprenticeship Week, a woman from Bicester has revealed how she completed two 24-month qualifications in the space of just 18 months. Tyne Grant, a senior people development consultant for the TXM Group, completed a Level 5 Learning and Development Business Partner Apprenticeship with training provider Realise. The programme includes the CIPD Level 5 Associate Diploma in Organisational Learning and Development. Ms. Grant said, "I knew I wanted to do the CIPD Level 5, as that is the gold standard in HR, really. I already held other qualifications, but not ones which were nationally recognised. The 34-year-old said the amount of work required to complete two qualifications simultaneously was daunting at first, but praised her realised tutor for supporting her every step of the way. She said, "I wasn't sure what to expect from the apprenticeship, and the workload initially came as a bit of a shock. Balancing it with daily duties felt daunting at first, but it soon became manageable and ultimately a rewarding and enjoyable experience. My tutor, Karen Giles, was incredibly supportive, always accessible and willing to help throughout the journey. It was a challenging but rewarding experience. I received two recognised qualifications that will support me in my career. I strongly believe in the value of apprenticeships and encourage anyone to pursue one if they have the opportunity."
A neighbourhood policing team visited a group that supports black and minority communities in Oxford. East Oxford and Cowley neighbourhood policing team visited not-for-profit Oxford Community Action with Councillor Lubna Arshad. They said it was great to see such engagement and witness the great work that Oxford Community Action do in the community. They gave officers a warm welcome. The group promotes community development, social inclusion and social justice for diverse, multi-ethnic communities. It runs a food distribution service reaching out to 350 families each week, connects communities with nature through monthly walks and helps enable active travel.
Christchurch has received a sizable donation of work by one of the country's most famous authors. One of the world's largest privately held collections of letters, photographs, books, illustrations, and other materials by Lewis Carroll has been handed over to the Oxford Institution. Carroll is best known for his Alice in Wonderland books, which have delighted generations of children and been adapted for Hollywood films. But the author's professional life was spent chiefly as an academic, a mathematician, and logician at Christchurch, Oxford. Excelling as a student, he received the Christchurch Mathematical Lectureship in 1855 and remained at the college until his death in 1898. There he met Alice Little, daughter of the Dean of Christchurch, Henry Little, and the inspiration for Alice, and produced the hundreds of letters, photographs, and sketches that now return home in the collection curated by John Linseth. The Christchurch Library, where the author served as sub-librarian for a time, has long been one of the foremost archives of his work. Included in the collection are more than 200 autograph letters, a vast number of significant early editions of his works, including Alice books, The Hunting of the Snark, and mathematical works, including The Game of Logic and Symbolic Logic. Carroll was considered one of the best amateur photographers of his time. The Linseth collection contains over 100 of his photographs, including ones of his friends and noted figures of his day, such as Alfred Lord Tennyson and Dante Gabriel Rossetti. The collection also contains proofs, drawings by Carroll, and by his foremost illustrators, John Tenniel and Harry Furniss.
An annual event celebrating different faiths and communities will return to an Oxford museum later this month. The Ashmolean Museum will host the One World Family Festival on February the 22nd and 23rd between 11 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Organisers say the event will celebrate the many communities and faiths of Oxfordshire through a dazzling array of activities, performances, talks and crafts for all ages. This year's theme for the annual festival is In Unity, Exploring the Past, Our Planet and Community. With something for everyone, the event will include traditional Chinese dancing, African fitness dancing, an Egyptian time capsule craft, and Polish cuisine. Beginning with a welcome from the Ashmolean Director of Audiences and Content, Gina Kutsika, on the Saturday, the festival will finish with traditional Nepalese dance performances in vibrant costumes with the Oxfordshire Nepalese community on the Sunday. The festival is free to attend with a suggested donation of £6 per family.
A A £10,000 donation has been made to an Oxford hospice by the BMW Group. The Karl Montz Foundation has donated the money, which equates to more than £8,300, to Sobel House Hospice Charity. Karl Montz was a member of the BMW Group Management Board from 1963 to 75. His namesake foundation aims to support public health and welfare across the world. BMW Group has a strong presence in Oxford with its mini manufacturing plant and is one of the city's largest employers. The manufacturing plant in Cowley is a long-term supporter of the hospice and was a key partner for Oxtrail. The donation was secured by Dr. Marcus Gruneisel, Managing Director of Plant Oxford, and his team. Dr. Gruneisel said, "We're proud to support the important work of Sobel House Hospice in providing end-of-life care to the people of Oxford. BMW Group is committed to giving back to the local community and supporting charitable organisations that make a real difference in people's lives." Amelia Foster, Chief Executive of Sobel House Hospice, added, "We're extremely grateful and particularly thankful to Marcus and Plant Oxford for the role they have played in securing it for services in our region. By championing our cause, they are helping us to continue to provide our palliative care services to residents and their families."
Locals fighting to save their village pub, backed by an EastEnders star, say it should be at the heart of the community. Actor Tamsin Uthwaite has joined the campaign to save the Fox Inn in Middle Barton, near Chipping Norton. The Grade II listed 18th century pub used to host the local assizes justice courts and the village stocks, and is the last pub left in the Bartons. The residents secured West Oxfordshire District Council's listing of the pub as an asset of community value in March 2022. But the owner, an investment company, put the Fox Inn on the market in June 2023. Since the closure, the Bartons Community Benefit Society Limited, which is behind the Save Our Fox campaign, has been working tirelessly to reopen the pub. The society is now deep in negotiations, and new proposals will be presented at a public meeting in the coming weeks. It hopes to be a key partner in a newly created community interest company and will own a proportion of the building. The society said it is now hopeful of a summer reopening. The campaign has been backed by Miss Uthwaite, best known for playing Mel Owen in EastEnders and star of the military drama Red Cap and Hotel Babylon. Miss Uthwaite said, "We moved to the area in 2019 and we absolutely love it here. Every village needs a pub, and the Fox was a hub for everything."
A philanthropist from Bristol has travelled 3,000 kilometres across 10 European countries to raise money for a local charity. Andrew Holbert, 38, initially planned a 2,000-kilometre journey through Poland, Germany and France to raise funds for Nye's House, a charity supporting young people's mental health. However, he extended his four-day solo drive to cover 3,000 kilometres, visiting Bicester's three European twin towns. Mr. Holbert said, "Driving 3,000 kilometres across 10 countries for charity was an incredible experience that taught me so much. I learned the importance of having a plan, but staying flexible. Some nights I didn't even know what country I'd sleep in. The kindness of people was overwhelming, from strangers donating to locals going out of their way to help. Avoiding major cities meant I saw a side of Europe most tourists miss, and the landscapes from Austria's greenery to France's Champagne region were breathtaking. Most importantly, I learned that sometimes you just have to go for it, stop overthinking and make it happen." His journey raised more than £2,000 for Nye's House.
It is not realistic or right for UK firms to distance themselves from China, the head of the Confederation of British Industry, CBI, told an audience in Oxford. Chief Executive Rayne Newton-Smith said in a speech at Oxford University that the UK must not listen to the siren call of protectionism in its trade policy. It comes amid the backdrop of a looming global trade war after US President Donald Trump announced plans for new tariffs. The Trump administration confirmed plans to introduce 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, although the start of these has been delayed for a month. Mr. Trump imposed 10% tariffs on China, sparking instant retaliation, China launching its own tariffs on coal, liquefied natural gas and crude oil. The CBI chief said the UK must not fall behind one of the key trading blocks in the case of a potential trade war. We must project the UK as a world leader in trade, innovation and sustainable economic growth, she said in Oxford. There may be tension between the US, the EU and China, pressure to fall in behind one or more. We must not. Engagement is always better than protectionism or sticking our heads in the sand. China, we must be practical. Yes, recognise the security concerns, but full decoupling is not realistic and is not right.
A new exhibition will look into contextualise the legacy of imperialist Cecil Rhodes at Oriel College, where his statue caused years of protests. Rhodes was a 19th century politician in southern Africa, who campaigners from the Rhodes Must Fall movement have said was steeped in colonialism and racism. He was also a student at Oriel and left the college 100,000 when he died in 1902. In partnership with Oriel College, the Oxford Zimbabwe Arts Partnership, OZAP, has launched a sculpture competition at the Chitungwiza Arts Center in Zimbabwe. The winning sculpture will be the centerpiece of an artistic and educational exhibition at Oriel, continuing the college's work in contextualizing the contested history of colonialism in Zimbabwe and the legacy of Rhodes. Oxford Zimbabwe Arts Partnership was set up in 2020 as a creative and constructive response to the Oxford Rhodes Must Fall campaign at the time of Black Lives Matter. It is a small community group founded between artists in East Oxford and the Harare area in Zimbabwe. OZAP will organize and host the artistic and educational exhibition from September to December at Oriel College and then the University Church of St. Mary the Virgin. The exhibition is expected to visit other universities and venues, including in Zimbabwe. Rhodes was a colonialist, businessman, and politician who drove the annexation of land in southern Africa in the late 19th century in Zimbabwe and Zambia, then named Rhodesia. In 2015, the Rhodes Must Fall campaign began after students in South Africa called for the removal of his statue on the steps of the University of Cape Town, sparking protests at other universities around the world. Oxford United Official Charity has partnered with a further education college to deliver a program for post-GCSE students pursuing a career in sport. Oxford United in the Community has become the delivery partner for the club's advanced football program. The charity has teamed up with Abingdon and Whitney College to provide the training and match day operations arm of the full-time program. The advanced football program, which was launched in 2023, combines twice weekly training sessions at United's Horse Path Road training ground with competitive matches in the National Youth League. The program also includes studies towards a sports industry recognized qualification. It is open to male and female students aged 16 to 19 and aims to develop professional skills, knowledge, and behaviors essential to football and the real world. To celebrate the new partnership with Abingdon and Whitney College, students on the program were invited to United's recent 3-2 win over Luton Town in the championship. A pre-match presentation showcased the charity's wider work and how it uses football to inspire and engage people of all ages across the county. Those interested in enrolling onto the 2025-26 program are invited to attend a trials day on Wednesday, February 19th at Oxford United's training ground between midday and 3 p.m. A second set of roadworts have appeared along Botley Road on the edge of Oxford in response to a sewer pipe being damaged. Botley Road has been hit with long delays heading towards Oseney Mead as Thames Water installed temporary traffic lights to repair a sewer pipe near the Seacourt Park and Ride. This is in addition to an ongoing project from Thames Water to replace damaged water mains and reinforce Oseney Bridge along the road. This project has had to be delayed until the completion of Network Rail's Botley Road project and a temporary overground pipe to maintain water supply to more than 22,500 customers is in place in the cycle lane over the bridge. This separate repair to the sewer pipe at the other end of Botley Road required traffic flow measures to allow tankers to manage the sewage. It comes amid further delays in Network Rail's closure of the road, which has been in place since April 2023.
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.